Welcome to the Health Fix Podcast, where Dr. Janine Krause, that's me, gives you, a health junkie, a weekly dose of tools to help you increase your energy and resilience to life stressors.
Hey, health junkies. The Health Fix Podcast is sponsored by EMF Rocks and athleticism.com, where you can find all the tools for whole brain and whole body performance so you can be an athlete for life. Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. And on today's episode, we are talking all about why we all might need a little brain reset. And I have one of my fabulous patients on to talk a little bit too about before and afters with balancing hormones and how, you know, a little bit of mindset is a nice little addition to that. And we're also going to talk about Nancy's lovely, lovely, lovely business, because being a coach is a huge factor. And I think a lot of us are starting to realize that we need some help in the rewiring department. So Nancy McCartney, welcome to the Health Fix Podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here. It's an honor.
Well, I am honored to have an actual patient come on and chat with me about, for one, experience working with me, but two, working on hormones, because so many people struggle with hormones and so many people really, you know, I will see them come in, day out with, you know, this worked, but that didn't. And we're having trouble tweaking the hormones. We're having trouble finding what works. And ultimately, I've learned that there's a lot of mindset stuff that happens.
So much.
Realm.
So much. Yes.
So
absolutely.
Nancy, tell us a little bit about, let's start a little bit about how you came to see me and what we worked with. And then we'll start to move into your story and how you started working on coaching with folks.
Yeah, absolutely. So last spring, I was being coached by one of my coaches, and she talked about the Dutch test. And then I did some research and was trying to find a provider who was supported by my insurance and that wasn't too far away. And you were the one. And so I tracked you down and called you. And then you set up the test for me to have that done. And I had it done. And then I ended up coming in and meeting with you and found out that my hormones were all over the place. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I had a feeling that was true, but you know, you have no idea, because typical doctors just don't do this kind of testing. And I was like not sleeping. I was not losing weight. I was depressed. I was frustrated. And I didn't realize how much of this was all connected to how wacky my hormones were.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not uncommon for me to see that. And yes, the Dutch test is, for those of you guys who are listening, this is a dried urine test that shows the metabolites of hormone balance. And we see the true output of what is happening. Now, can you look in the blood? Sure. But you don't get the full, you don't get as full of a picture. And the cool part about the Dutch test is that it also shows us where stress levels are at. And we had all kinds of stuff all over the place for you. Mm-hmm. And so we went through, and of course we prescribed some hormones and we went with bioidenticals, and you went off, and I'm like, okay, usually when I send my folks off, I'm like, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to work on adjusting things. We're going to make sure we find the right balance. And I knew, because you were already working as a coach for folks, that you would be working on the mindset aspect of hormone imbalance, which I personally am not an expert in balancing the mind, but I'm starting to realize how important this factor is, and quite mm-hmm. possibly in the success of matching the bioidentical hormones with some mindset stuff.
Yes, so important. All of it fits together, you know, and I think so many women, and I'm speaking from my own experience, just don't have a clue how the way that our brains work affects everything. And, you know, so many times I think we blame ourselves for when things go wrong or when we're feeling bad. But the reality is that our brains are wired from the time that, I mean, back in the caveman days, right? So the reptile brain will trigger alarms that things are going wrong. And it may be that that our hormones are out of whack, but we think that, you know, there's so many other things that are affected. And it can pull us into depression, into low self-esteem, into cycling with addictions. And one of the things that's so powerful is when you understand that your brain is just trying to keep you alive. It's just trying to help you survive in the way that it knows how. Once you understand that, then you can realize that, okay, this is not the end of the world. You know, I just need to figure this out. I need to do some thought work. I need to talk about this. I need to realize what's happening. And then it's like the most beautiful connection when you understand how all of that fits together and realize that there is a way out. And once the hormones are balanced, and once you understand how your brain works, and it's a great combination.
And I think that's a really important component, because a lot of people come into me and be like, "Doc, I have such bad brain fog. I can't think. I can't remember anything." Well, of course, how are you going to be able to take the next step and get healthy and get yourself on point if you can't think? Which, of course, having the hormones in there is going to help you to not only get to a stage of balance, but also be able to think clearly to make some key decisions in life.
So true. Yeah, absolutely. And one of the big things that I focus on in my my coaching business is self-compassion. And I think it's the most beautiful topic. And I was never taught that. And I don't really know anybody else that was taught that. How to be compassionate with yourself. I mean, we, you know, as women are compassionate with everyone around us oftentimes, right? Our children, our family members, and, you know, we're last in line. Yeah. And that component has shifted everything for me. And, you know, to be able to have that for myself, when I do something that I might not be proud of, or that I'm not really, you know, I'm like, oh, you know, what, why did I do that? It's like, I don't have that hard judgment any longer. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just a human being myself. I'm just doing me, and you know, it's all good. It's all fine. And so that comes from this thought work that I do as well. It's so transformative, and it actually allows you as a human being to be self-supportive emotionally, so that, you know, whatever happens in life, and there's always tragedies, it seems like, or struggles or challenges. Once you have this framework, it allows you to manage everything.
I think that a lot of people are coming to me looking for hormone balancing and need kind of the full picture, because there's so much of that beating up of ourselves and things that go on that I can't help but wonder if there's a little bit of chicken or egg with why do certain people struggle a little bit more with hormone imbalance when others don't. Will you tell us a little bit of your history and how you came to become a coach? Because I think this might give some folks some perspective, but maybe we might have some folks that might resonate as well in terms of, oh, maybe these two things need to happen together a little bit more for me.
Right. Yeah. Well, I've actually, my whole life have been, I guess, a coach. From the time I was a child, I've always wanted to understand how to be happy. You know, what it seems like such a secret. I could never figure it out. And I was always, you know, looking for the answer in life. Even as a child, I used to watch Kung Fu. I don't know, you're probably too young for that, but that show about Grasshopper. And it's like he was being taught by his grandfather the wisdom of, you know, the ages. And I was just like transfixed by that every week, because I'm like 10 years old trying to figure out life. And I had a lot of really difficult challenges when I was young. I had my parents died young and that kind of thing. And it's like, you know, so I've always been on that path. And I was a hairdresser forever. I was a personal trainer forever. You know, now as a life coach, it kind of all fits together, because it's always been my work has been one-on-one, working with people and helping them to support them. And as a hairdresser, I, you know, and a trainer, both, people would tell me things they would never tell anybody else. Yeah. Absolutely. And so it was just always, and that was always my, I just loved that part of the work, even though I was working on somebody's hair or, you know, helping them get in shape, that the psychology part of it was always like my favorite. So I'm like, well, why don't I just get into that? Cause that's really where my passion is. And so then throughout the years, I, you know, kind of kept doing that kind of thing. And then I got certified as a coach a few years ago, and then got another certification a year ago through the Life Coach School, and really got into, you know, the heart and soul of what this is all about. But what led me up to that was several years ago, I was struggling with arthritis, and I had it really badly in both my hips, and I also have arthritic scoliosis in my back. And it created such a sense of feeling old, feeling, you know, I was like 53 and I was feeling like life was over and my hair was getting thin. My hearing, I had everything go. My hearing was going. I'd been wearing glasses for quite a while, but I ended up getting in contacts at that point. But it's like, I just was like, this is it. I feel like I'm 80. I was 222 pounds. I'm 5'9". So, you know, I can carry it probably better than some people, but I was very still overweight. And I ended up just like really going into a really dark place. I was unemployed, single, family issues. I have like a very dysfunctional family, and it's like, I just felt so unsupported on every level. And so then I just kept doing my reading, you know, of trying to understand my brain. And then when I found this coaching program, I dove into it like 100%. And it really has done so much to help me. And, you know, step by step, I've got myself out of it, and I got both hips replaced, and started feeling, you know, it was easier for me to move at that point. So that was important. And then I could start like getting out and walking and working out and doing that kind of thing again. And then, you know, one step by one step. And then I found you, and that's really made all the difference. I couldn't believe it. The first night that I had the progesterone,
yeah,
I went from 5 milligrams to 200. I've been sleeping like the dead. And tell me how many women don't struggle with sleep.
So many. So,
oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. And sleep is so helpful. You know, it's restorative, right? And if mm-hmm. we have brain fog, and if we're struggling with weight and pain, you know, during the day, it's like we're running marathons and the, you know, bears are taking all these swipes at us all day long. We mm-hmm. need that evening time and our nighttime to restore. And so not being able to sleep on top of all of those things, mm-hmm. no wonder you were yeah. struggling. No wonder.
Yeah. Yeah. And it, you know, like I mentioned earlier too, I felt very isolated, very alone. And even though I have, you know, some really close girlfriends that are very supportive, there was just so much depression really that came from that, because I felt like there is no hope. There's nothing positive that's going to come from my life, because of with all of this happening and being that age and that transition really in the early 50s for me is when it hit, where I was like, oh my God, I'm old. And this is not going to get better. It's going to get worse. Right. And I never really, my age had never really affected me my whole life. And then it's like, all of a sudden I'm like, I'm an old lady. That's it. This is it. I'm done. Yeah. It was bad. Oh, man. It was bad. And I actually, this is like hard for me to admit this, but I was suicidal.
Yeah.
I was, yeah. It was tough.
No, it's
common. I didn't share that with anybody at the time either, because it's like, you know, you just don't want it. You don't want anybody like to freak out or anything, but I'm like, how can I just exit? Just, you know, there's what's the point here? It was not good.
Yeah. I mean, I know you're not alone. I know you're not alone in that situation. And that's the thing, you know, folks who are listening right now, I can honestly say that probably 70% of the women that come into me to have their hormones worked on will tell me, like, I feel like I'm losing my mind and I don't want to be here anymore.
Mm.
And it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. Yes. And being on the edge of starting to head into perimenopause myself, I've now started to feel some of the ups and downs. Of course, now I'm like, okay, I got my Dutch test and get myself on point. But it's, you know, I'm looking at it and going, okay, ladies, if you're in your early 40s, you might want to be thinking about this, even your late 30s. Mm-hmm. Like, these are big things to start to be thinking about in general.
Right. Yeah. I was coaching with a gal the other day in her mid 40s, and she said, you know, I'm feeling these things already, mm-hmm. you know, and she said, this is so important, you know, to be aware of, because I think so many times things happen without our awareness, right? We may not be like clicked in to what exactly is happening. And, you know, we try to just get through the day without really being aware of what's happening. And it's like, oh, it's so important. But see, the thing too, is that a lot of times there's denial when you don't have it, when you don't know what to do.
Yeah.
So if you don't know that maybe you need to have, you know, like somebody to talk to about what you're thinking, or, you know, somebody like you to talk to about what your body's doing. And, you know, then you're kind of like the victim of your own self. And you don't even realize it, right? It's like the awareness and the knowledge is so important.
So if someone's listening right now and they're thinking, okay, awareness, how do I become more aware? What do you tell folks in your practice about being aware?
Yeah.
Do you have them journal? Do you have them mindset kind of things? You know, how does it work?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So when I'm coaching with somebody, what we do is we start with, you know, what are your three biggest worries? And what are your three biggest wishes? So we start there for them to kind of like start digging in a little bit and thinking about, okay, what is the things that are really bothering me? And so when we're coaching, we talk about these things, and then I give them things to work on in between the coaching calls. So they would get, you know, a journal is super important. I call it, well, it's called a thought download, where you actually like empty your brain out on paper. And so many times we don't realize, you know, what our brain's holding and what it's carrying. And once you get your thoughts out on paper, for one thing, it lightens the load, right? Because that's the things that keep you awake at night oftentimes is what you're thinking about. And so once the thoughts, everything, there's no editing, right? You just get it out. Pages, depending on what's being carried in there. It's like empty the whole thing out. And then I will also teach how to realize that we create a lot of drama in our lives by the way that we choose to think about things. And so, you know, if a circumstance that's very difficult is happening, we have choices on how we choose to think about it. And once we understand that, then it can really be freeing, because you realize, wait a minute, you know, I mean, my instant reaction is to think this is horrible, but, you know, what's the gift in this? And just as an example, for me, one of my most tragic situations that I had in the last couple of years is my adult son stopped talking to me, just like out of nowhere. And we had had a disagreement, but it wasn't anything big. I mean, it wasn't, you know, we just disagreed, and he just cut me off completely. And I think this is a bigger deal than anybody talks about. This is another one of those things that people don't share is when, you know, there's isolation, there's family members that just drop off. And I was devastated, because I mean, it didn't matter what I said. If I reached out to him, he would not answer me. It was just dead silence. And I ended up getting a lot of coaching on it, because I was a mess. And what I realized is that he's a grown adult. He can choose his life. He can choose to do whatever he wants to do. And I may think that as a son, he should do certain things, and that's called a manual. So I had a manual for him. I wanted him to be a certain way, do certain things that make me feel good and make me feel like, you know, that we had a good relationship. Well, that wasn't his man. He didn't know my manual, for one thing. I didn't share it with him, which, you know, he probably wouldn't have been open to it anyway. But So, but what I learned is that I can still love him. I can still love him and let him live his life, and I can be happy in my life, even if we don't have a relationship. And that went on for a year. He had a brand new baby girl that was born during that time. And it was like, oof, that was a rough one. You know, that was some challenging times for me. And I was like, I have no control over this. This is not my choice. I can't change it. All I can do is affect my own self and how I choose to think about things. And I chose to love him, and I loved his wife, and I loved his baby, even though I had no connection. And then that next spring in May, on Mother's Day, he sent me a text that said, "Happy Mother's Day, period." Which I thought was interesting, the period, right? I'm like, huh, what does that mean? But at that point, I had done so much work on myself that I was like, I'm not going to make this mean anything, because I didn't know what it meant, right? And so, well, since we've talked, and we now have a relationship again. And so we've worked through things, but he's still, you know, pretty independent and pretty distant, but it's okay. I'm like, I don't expect him to be anything other than what he is. And so that's just like a big example of what thought work can do, as far as like, no matter how bad your situation is, there's ways of rising above it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And not attaching meaning to things that you don't know what it necessarily means. And I think texts are probably one of the most misconstrued things, in addition to email and not
knowing. Oh, yes.
You can't get someone's personality out of it.
The written word. I mean, our brain will make it mean all kinds of things, right? Yeah. Especially if you've got a lot of emotion behind it. It's like, if I'm upset and somebody sends me a text, I can make it mean 100 different things that it doesn't mean at all. Yeah.
Yes. And that's happened. True. I mean, it happens to me on a personal and a professional level. And, you know, it's one of those things where you have to be like, okay, wait, like you said, back up a minute here, and let's just not attach the meaning to this.
Yeah.
And I think for a lot of us, like you said, the manual, we have this idea of what a son should be, a daughter should be like, even a husband. Mm-hmm. And I think in this age range right now, we're sitting at a time frame where there's a lot of divorces around menopause, perimenopause, you know, midlife crisis, may it be, but I think a lot of it is we're waking up and going, well, this person doesn't fit my manual, and I've been dealing with it for all this time, and it's not right. Mm-hmm. But did they subscribe to your manual? Did they even know it existed? Is a very good point.
Right. And it's so important to get that understanding, because what that actually is considered like emotional childhood. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we all do it, right? It's like, it's part of the human brain, but it's like, I'm expecting you to behave a certain way so that I feel good.
I mean,
and it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It creates so much, you know, discord and unhappiness in a relationship. And it's like, wait a minute, if I can figure out my own self and allow you to be whoever you are, you know, and accept you and love you unconditionally, then I can choose, you know, what path I want to go down. Now, does it mean that you put up with things that are not supportive or that might be abusive? No, not at all. But if you have somebody who says things to you that you don't like or that are hurtful, they're just being themselves. And it's like, well, let them be who they are. You get to make your choices then too. So, you know, it may be, I mean, there's 100 different ways of looking at things like this, but you know, I think the important thing is that you understand that everybody gets to be who they are. And that's so freeing, because then you get to be who you are too. And you get to make whatever choices you want for your life. And, you know, there's a lot of good information that can come from that, and a lot of powerful choices you can make for yourself. And so I think so many times relationships are more difficult than they need to be, because we expect people to behave a certain way and they don't want to, because who does? I don't want to.
Right? I'm going to rebel.
Yeah. Right. And so it's like, once we understand all that, then it's like, oh, it's just like this great release of like freedom. And, you know, and then I love you for who you are, and you love me for who I am. And we just get to, you know, share our lives together and be happy, but there's no expectations anymore. But so yeah, there's that.
I think that's huge. I think that side of things, you know, how much time do people waste on that? You know, that's a lot of, like you said, freed up time to focus on other things like yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think it's also almost, our thoughts can almost be our own stressors that mess with our own hormones. Mm. It's kind of going to sound strange to some folks listening, but here's the deal, guys. If your thoughts are ruminating day in, day out on things you can't control, people you can't control, you're going to be putting your cortisol levels up no matter what. And when yes. you put the cortisol up, now we're going to shift estrogen. We're going to shift in particular estrogen shift because of the gut microbiome. And then we're going to shift the progesterone because we're going to steal the precursors to making progesterone because we're still stressed. So let's transition a little bit, Nancy, into kind of some of what people might be able to expect if they work with you in terms of working with stress management, in terms of the thought downloads. I call that mental diarrhea. I will usually just put it all out on a piece of paper before bed. But what does it look like in the course of some of your programs? I know you're coming up with a program coming up, the 6-week clarity course. And and how do these, you know, if someone's interested, how does it look in terms of the program? Not necessarily expected, but what's the program like? Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, first thing, what I like my clients to do is to, from my website, get on and book a 30-minute session. It's a 30-minute coaching session, so you can get an idea of what it's like to work with me. And I usually, what I'll have you do is bring a topic that's a problem and we'll work through it so you can kind of get a feel for what this is about. And as far as my 6-week clarity course, what this is like an intro to understanding what coaching is. This is, you know, and a lot of women may have had coaches before. Maybe I'm going to be different probably than most, but my basic, I guess my basic plan for anybody that wants to sign up for this is that they understand what it is that's keeping them stuck right now. And so the start session is basically, I want to know everything that's going on in your life. What do you love? What do you not love? What do you want to change? And what causes you pain? What is your impossible 6-week goal? What would you like to create in 6 weeks? So that this is like, just gives your self an understanding of what can be possible. I think so many times we get stuck in our own thought loops and believe that we just have to keep repeating. But the thing is, there's so many goals that can be accomplished when you understand how your brain works and how to put things in process. I teach what coaching is so that you understand your mind and a little bit like what we've been talking about. I go into a little bit more about that so that you can really, once you understand just the basic concepts of thought management, then it shifts everything. I mean, this may seem like it's simple, but it's huge. And once you understand that and get just the basics down, it's like everything changes, and things that you thought were overwhelming, they aren't anymore. And then we go into beliefs. What you believe is based on your past, how to discover existing beliefs, and how to believe something we don't yet believe. And what we want is based on our future. So this is another really exciting concept. It's like, then it kind of like the doors fly open. You're like, wait, what's possible for me? What can I actually do? I didn't think that was possible. I didn't think I was capable. And it doesn't matter what it is, you know, whether it's weight loss or starting a new, you know, daily habit, whatever it is, you know, that you want to work on. This is the stuff that we do. And we go into feelings and how important feelings are, and where they come from, in the difference between sensations and feelings and why they matter, emotional balance, why we want to allow feelings instead of resisting, reacting, or avoiding them, And this comes into play big time with buffering, what I call, well, one of the things that we work on too is buffering, where instead of feeling a feeling, we do something like shopping, Netflix, sugar.
Food. Yeah.
Yeah. Food. Big one. That's a big one. It's like, I don't want to feel my feelings, so I'm going to eat them or drink them. And, you know, I mean, there's a thousand different ways to buffer. You can over Facebook, right? It's like, rather than feeling, you just scroll through your Facebook. And so, and we get into that too. And so, and everybody, this is really just an exercise in awareness in how you're showing up in your life for yourself. And what do you want to create?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything that you mentioned in there, I'm like, I don't know who doesn't need that, really.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of where the buffering comes into play is where we tend to have the manipulation of the hormones, because anybody who is struggling with excess drinking, excess eating, sugar, we're going to mess with the gut microbiome. And that gut microbiome is what helps keep your hormones in check. There's some data out there on this thing called the estrobolome, which is basically how we process estrogen in the gut, but also how we get the nutrients to make progesterone. Mm-hmm. And so I'm a big believer in working on those sorts of things too, how you manage stress. If you're an emotional eater, I mean, for me, I found a lot of change within myself when I really started to work on my stuffing down of emotions. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, wow, look, my hormones aren't so bad. My period isn't so bad. My estrogen levels aren't doing this when I'm not like diving into a whole jar of peanut butter.
Mm-hmm.
And so I bet you find that a lot of folks you work with are definitely using either alcohol or wine. Wine's super popular.
It is. Yes. And I actually have a program that I do that's called Stop Over Drinking.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's another 6-week program. And a lot of people don't believe that they're alcoholics, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they may think that they drink too much. And they may feel like, I'm not an alcoholic. I don't get up in the morning and pour myself a glass of wine, right? But, you know, I find myself drinking sometimes when I don't really want to, or, you know, I plan not to, and then I do it anyway. And so what we do is we go into understanding how to come up with a drink plan so that, you know, you follow your, basically what we do is with all of these programs I teach, whether it's with overeating or over drinking, is first we teach how to trust ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's the first thing. And a lot of times, I mean, we don't have any faith in ourselves. We've started things and stopped them and given up, and there's not, you know, there's a break there. And so if I don't trust myself and believe in myself, that I'm not going to follow through on a promise I make to myself.
Right.
So we start super small, right? Super little baby steps, one little step at a time. And coming up with a drink plan, and there's a lot more that goes on before that. But, you know, we go into, you know, what is it that we're trying to avoid?
Mm-hmm.
Or what is it that we're wanting to feel? So, you know, if you pour a glass of Chardonnay every night at 6 o'clock, what is it that you're getting from that? And, you know, for a lot of women, it's just, well, it's the end of the day. I just want to relax. I just want to feel better. You know, I feel like it's my reward because I just did this all day long, you know, and, but it, and not to say that that's a bad thing. There's really no judgment in that. It's just a matter of, is that what you want?
Right.
Do you want to be doing that? And so really what I want to do is take off the judgment on it and just, you know, realize that let's just create something where you're doing what you want to do. Not that there's, you know, a should or a shouldn't in it. And that goes with food too. And with dieting, you know, it's creating an eating plan or a food plan, an exercise plan. And when we break them down into little tiny steps, they're doable. I think so many times people look at something like, well, I have 50 pounds to lose. How could I do that? Well, because you look at the big picture, right? And then you're like, it's too much. And go back to the package of cookies. It's like, it's too much. I can't do it.
Right. Right. It's easy to shut down. And it, when you're looking at the big picture.
Yeah.
Now working with you, I'm imagining that folks are working on setting up a plan, because I do find that for a lot of my patients, just thinking about the plan to get to the 50-pound weight loss is like mind blowing. It's like, oh yeah. My God, how am I going to get there?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's actually, I mean, we have, before we get to the actual, like working out the protocol of what's happening, we go into what is it that's driving the overeating? Mm-hmm. What's there? You know, what's happening? What are you doing that you don't want to do in your life? What are you frustrated by? Is this just something you've done your whole life and it's a habit? I mean, there's so many different reasons why people eat, right? And so figuring that out, and then, you know, I don't create the protocol, you do. Mm-hmm. You're the one that decides what you want to do. Do you want to cut out sugar just for today? Try it. Right. I mean, you take, and like what I'm saying is like, when you break things down into small, little, tiny pieces, it makes it so doable. And then if you go today and don't have sugar, there's like that sense of accomplishment. Mm-hmm. And that's how it's built. It's one step at a time. And honoring yourself and having compassion for yourself, so important. You know, that self-love. It's like, why didn't anybody ever teach me that as a child or as a teenager? It's like, that's, nobody learns that. And it's like, then all you do is, you know, beat yourself up and think you're horrible because you didn't do it perfectly. And it's like, that's so, it's such a burden to carry. And there's no good feelings, you know, towards your own self. And it's like, that's so important. I'm so big on that. I'm like, no, I want you to learn how to love yourself unconditionally today, right now. I don't care what your burdens are. I don't care what you think is horrible about you. You deserve to love yourself. That's so important.
So important. Such a huge, 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 huge topic. Because I think for a lot of people, yeah, we should be teaching this in preschool. And yes. It's not a fact.
Yes.
It's not. And oh, it kills me because of myself, you know, but also I'm giving myself an example, but I think I see it in probably, I would say probably 95% of my patients. There is definitely a huge, I don't really love myself factor underlying a lot of,
yeah,
of the illness, and especially chronic illness. Chronic pain is very big in that department too.
Right. Yeah. That's a heavy burden. Mm-hmm. You know, for a human to carry. And I mean, being a human is just a hard thing anyway, no matter where you are, but you add that on top of it, it's like, oh, it's kind of hopeless, right?
It is. And, you know, considering the time that we're in right now, still stuck in this pandemic, a lot of folks are really, really struggling with mind, sometimes family issues related to whatever side you may be on in this vaccine conundrum.
Yes.
And it's, you know, I could see there, we've got a lot more, we're going to have more struggles to come with mental health and where people are at struggling with their mind and body connection related to health. So tell us, Nancy, where can folks find you online? What kind of things can we do to get in touch with you? Where can we see your thought process, get to know you a little bit more?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. So www.nancymccartney.com is my website. And that gives you a really good picture of who I am, what I offer, what I believe in, you know, what I want to do to help women. And you can take a look at all of that. I've got blogs on there that I've been posting to, all about weight loss and family estrangement and, you know, all the things that we struggle with. There's just some great information on there. And then just book a 30-minute, you can just click on my calendar and book a 30-minute session.
I want to help every woman out there that's struggling. Yeah. I mean, that is the goal.
Yes.
We just need to band together and help each other out quite a bit, especially as we're headed in to this realm of perimenopause and menopause. It's kind of my yes. big thing now. And, you know, just awareness. So all the ladies our age can share with the younger folks, what's real, like what yeah. is real in life and things that matter and things that maybe we need to change our brains a little bit about.
Well, and the other thing too, that is so beautiful about this is that it actually can be like the most amazing time, mm-hmm. right? And it's like, I never looked at it like that until recently. And it's like, wait a minute, I have like no responsibilities of children. I have like, it's my life is my own. It doesn't have to be a depressing time. It can be like the most amazing time because you have choices. What do you want to do, right? What do you want to do with your life, with your one beautiful life? It's like, what passions did you put aside when you had kids? You know, I used to have horses. I rode on a drill team.
Oh, cool.
And I know, and I'm like, I mean, at some point I probably will get back into that. My sister's into it and I'm like, oh, I might have to get back into that again. But you know, I mean, even little things like painting or hiking, you know, it can be anything.
I love that. Folks, yeah. So if you've heard Nancy all the way up to here and you're still hanging out with us, I think this is a time to really start dreaming again. I love the 40s. 30s were not my friend, but 40s I really dig. And I'm thinking that I, you know, having learned everything that, you know, about the brain and things from you and all of the, how can we really just tap into our true selves? I think this is the secret to longevity and how things should be for, not even should, like how I want things for me to be for the rest of my life. So Nancy, thank you so much for coming on. Everybody, so I will have everything on the show notes at drjkrausnd.com. And we'll be chatting more because I think there's going to be a lot more talk in my world about helping folks navigate perimenopause and menopause and certain topics that are hot, especially like those we've talked about today. So thank you so much again.
Thank Nancy. You. It was such an honor. Thank you so much, Jenny.
Hey there. If you enjoyed this episode of The Health Fix, I bet you'd love to join us in our Facebook group, Find Your Health Fix, where we keep the conversation going from the podcast, but also talk all things health and how we can be athletes and healthy for life. So if you're interested in being on top of your A game, not taking pharmaceutical medications, and being healthy for life, come on over to Find Your Health Fix. We'll see you there.